All right, you can open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to be seeing several verses this morning. I want to look at timeless truths from the Bible on technology. And I was thinking about what to teach on this morning. Lord laid this on my heart. You know, more than ever, technology has almost been forced into our lives. Now, maybe you, before all the coronavirus, you're a techie type guy like me, and you just eat up technology. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're someone who hasn't really gotten in much into technology, but you've been forced to, whether it's live streaming or whether it's Zoom for work or these different things. But, you know, the amazing thing about the scriptures is that even though it was written over 2,000 years ago, there are principles in the scripture that can guide how our lives work and function, even with things that have just recently come out. And that's the wisdom and the depth of wisdom of the Word of God. And that's why I love the Bible, is because of the principles that we find in there. Now, we don't have a lot of time this morning, so please buckle up, especially if you're on your way driving here. But buckle up, and we're going to go as fast as we can. I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm excited, one, that I don't have to wear a mask while I'm teaching, which is great. And number two, I'm excited to see people and see faces. I would say faces. I'm seeing half of faces, but it's good to see faces nonetheless. But let's talk this morning about principles from the Word of God with our use to, regarding technology. Dr. David Murray, professor of practical theology, has said, technology has changed the way that we study, the way that we play, the way that we socialize, the way that we shop, and even apply for jobs. And I would add to that, the way that we work nowadays. He wrote this before the whole coronavirus thing. So I think a lot of these statements are intensified nowadays. He says, believe it or not, one out of eight couples married in the United States met on social networking sites. No matter how much you take advantage of it, we all must admit that technology has changed our lives for good or for bad. And I want to start off, because I don't want you to think this message is that I think technology is absolutely evil. I want to talk about real quick, and by way of introduction, four things that I think are a blessing about technology. Number one, God is the one who made technology possible. He's given us the brains that we have to use, and he made the physical elements like silicon or whatever, you know, type of metal that's used in all these different devices that we have. He made the forces of electricity and magnetism that allow technology to work, and he made, of course, creativity in the human mind to build computers, cell phones, iPads, you name it. You know, Al Gore may claim to have invented the internet. I don't know about that. But God is the one who's created man's mind. And he's the one that's responsible for the preservation of all knowledge and wisdom. And that's not your hard drive. And it's not the iCloud. The Lord is the one that preserves knowledge. And so I think the Lord is the one who gives us the wisdom for these things. Number two, technology can be one of the many things that we can do to the glory of God. You know, the Bible says that everything that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, and I think our use of technology falls right into that verse. The Bible says, do all to the glory of God. So the Bible is silent as to whether technology itself is good or bad. We would call it a neutral thing, just like a gun. It depends on how you use it. And technology has been abused. We know that because man's nature is sinful. And so man in his sinful nature has abused technology. But you know, as Christians, we can use it for the glory of God. And I think that's a great thing. You know, number three, technology has opened many doors for fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, while the words text and Skype and tweet and web design should never be the equivalent for going in the scripture, when God commands us to go into all the world, it is a blessing when there are roadblocks to that to be able to still get the gospel out. I've been, over the last 5-6 weeks, preaching to a group of believers that are more or less an underground church in United Arab Emirates and in Pakistan and in India on Friday. I've had the privilege of preaching to those individuals, places where the gospel is not able to freely roam. And so, you know, we can take these technology tools and use them for the glory of Jesus Christ and for getting the gospel out. And then, you know, technology can aid in the stewardship that God has given to every Christian. Being more organized, having better communication, you know, making wiser use of our time are ways that we can redeem the time, as the Bible commands us. In a world where technology is also a glaring picture of evil, we can use it for good for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so while there is a positive side to technology that we've just briefly talked about, we all know there is equally a negative side to it. Now, before you think Brother Brandon is against technology, you're talking, or the guy who's talking this morning is someone who owns iPad, iPhone, Xbox One, Wii, Xbox, Microsoft Xbox, the old kind, Atari. I used to own Atari. I love technology, and I read articles on technology pretty much each week, if not sometimes daily. So, if the Lord works in your heart about getting rid of your iPad today, you can definitely donate it to me. I'll help take that burden off of you. But let's look at some principles. We'll get through as many as we can. Please don't take the pace at which we're going. Don't associate that with the importance of this lesson. But let's get what we can for our hearts this morning and for the use of these things that have so rapidly come into our lives. So point number one, principle from the scriptures is this: beware of prideful status. Now, we talk about status, we talk about different social networks. Facebook has my status or my story. Twitter, has the @ and then your name. Video games even have my achievements and what I've done. You know, we can become consumed with ourselves without even knowing it. And that's true without technology, right? I mean, we can get lifted up in pride, and we can get to where everything revolves around my life and revolves around me. And we have to be careful, because technology, I think, can even amplify that in our lives if we're not careful. And you're in Proverbs chapter 16. Let's look at verse 18. I want to remind you, this verse is still true. And that is this: pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is a dangerous element in our lives. It's one of the things God says is an abomination to him. And so, the Bible says that a proud look is an abomination to God. And you know what? Your attitude online can look just as proud as your visible appearance. And so even other people's status, I've noticed, can cause jealousy to rise up in our life. We see that someone, on their Facebook page, everything looks like it's going good. And by the way, that's how it is most of the time, right? People put their best foot forward, and, not everybody's necessarily getting on there and telling you all their problems. They're telling you everything good, and they put nice pictures on there. And so you're looking at other people's lives thinking, well, wow, their life looks perfect, And if we're not careful, pride can cause jealousy. Well, Lord, why did they got that new job, and they got that new car, and they got that new house? How come I don't get any of that, Lord? And we can allow pride to creep up in our hearts and create jealousy, to create an envy in our hearts. A couple of applications, I think, to this point. I want to encourage you to use your status to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it's not bad to update what's going on in your life. I think Facebook and others are great for sharing prayer requests, for people to pray about, and for communicating with friends. I'm not saying those things are bad. I do think we have to have a balance with it, and we have to have a biblical perspective on it. And the Bible tells us in Romans 11 and verse 36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And so I want to encourage you this morning, use those things in technology, use that social networking, not to lift yourself up, but to lift Jesus Christ up. And that's why we're here on this earth. And let's keep that in mind. And then another application in this point. Hey, lift somebody else up. Tweet about somebody else. Talk about somebody else. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27, verse 2. "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips." And so, hey, when was the last time you, on your social network, whatever you use, lifted somebody else up, talked about something that somebody else did? Well, I tell you, Richard Dean yesterday came and over to our house, and he offered to help me with some lawn work there on the property, and boy, we got a lot done. I sure appreciate Richard Dean. I appreciate his servant, heart attitude. If someone does something for you in life, hey, let everybody know about you're thankful for that person and what they've done and what they mean to you. I think that's a great thing. Teens, I think it'd be a great thing to just show how you're thankful for your parents. It's typical for teens to talk bad about their parents and tear their parents down. Hey, I think it'd be a great thing for you to put something great about your parents on Facebook or whatever it is that you use, and lift other people up. Lift the Lord up, lift other people up, and let's be careful about not lifting ourselves up too much. And then number two, so beware of prideful status, but number two, beware of easy temptations. Beware of easy temptations. You know, temptations have always been around, okay? But technology has made it more readily available, I would say. And I think we understand this. You know, as a teenager, I didn't have access to pornography, just to be honest with you. I mean, maybe someone in the neighborhood whose parents, had something in their house and they found it. You know, something like that could happen, but I didn't have, and maybe this is dating me a little bit, we didn't have the internet for the most part as I was growing up, at least readily available, to where you could get on some website and see something. And so, yeah, it's gotten a lot easier to access things that aren't good. And it's not just pornography. It can be, you know, it can be things that as Christians, we shouldn't be getting into. The Bible talks about vain questions and things that are empty, things that aren't important. And boy, there's a lot of that out there. And if we're not careful, you can get sucked up into those things, those conversations, and those things that you can study and read about. It's all there, readily available on the internet. Now, understanding this as parents, we've got to be careful what we allow our kids to get involved with when it comes to technology. You'd never, I would hope, not encourage your kid to walk into some place where immorality is taking place. You would never encourage your kid to go into a bar where people are doing things that are wrong and evil. And yet, if we're not careful, we'll put a computer in their room. And because we're not careful what they're getting on, and maybe we haven't set up certain restrictions, they start inviting this stuff into their lives. As parents, we've got to be extremely aware. And, you know, with the blessings of technology comes the responsibilities. And as parents, boy, we only get one shot at this thing. I don't know about you, but I want to do it right. I'm not perfect, but I'm asking the Lord to give me wisdom. I'm praying for you as parents, the Lord to give you wisdom with how you guide your teenagers. And it's a teaching thing. This technology is not going away. And so you have to teach our kids how to use it properly, how to stay away from the evils. And the Bible talks about being careful of temptation. You know, as when I was pastor in the Spanish church, dealt with various counseling situations. I'll never forget one where a boy was invited to go over to another family's house. And while he was there, that family's child turned on a computer and put on some pornography. This is while the parents were there. They just weren't aware of what was going on. And ended up being a big scar in that child's life. Ended up being a big problem in the church. And so we have to be aware of what's going on in our families. You know, Proverbs 7, verses 7 through 8 says this, "And I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding." Listen to this. "Passing through the street," listen to the words here, "near her corner, and he went the way to her house." You know what the young man made a mistake? He opened himself up to temptation. He went near things that he shouldn't be around. Listen, if anything, we need to distance ourselves from the things that are evil. And while we're distancing ourselves from the things that are evil, let's draw closer to God. And the Bible says, "Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you." And so as we distance ourselves from the world, the evil things of this world, let's draw ourselves closer to the Lord in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning, use filters as much as possible. And I want to talk about this for a second. You know, David said, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." Turn over to Psalm 141, if you would, this morning. Psalm chapter 141, and let's look at verses 3 through 5. Psalm 141, 3 through 5. Now, you say, "Oh, Brother Brandon, filters, what are you talking about? I'm not real techie." Listen, I realize it might take a little bit of learning to do some of these things. But you know what? It's worth it. And we'll learn things if it means us making money in a job. We'll learn what we have to. We'll take a test and learn the knowledge that we got to learn in order to make money. Hey, why don't we do that to protect our families? Why are we not willing to go through a couple hoops in order to make sure that our families are safe from the evils that are out there in technology, right? And so Psalm 141 in verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, "Set a watch." You might call that a filter. "Set a watch," he says, "O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties." Verse 5, "Let the righteous smite me." And by the way, I like that last part as well. We ought to have an accountability with each other. It says, let the righteous smite me. And when someone approaches us about something they saw on our social network or something they saw our kids are doing, let's not be defensive about it. Let's not be, oh, my kid would never do that. Let's beware and let's realize maybe another Christian's trying to help out here, trying to prevent a lot of damage and hurt that's going on. Maybe a pastor or a spiritual friend, maybe a spouse. But you know what? Accountability is a good thing. And he goes on to say there, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head. It's amazing the experience I've had in talking to people and confronting people about things I've seen, how much defensiveness there is. Now, I know that's our nature, right? None of us like when someone points something out in our life that's not right or that's not good. But you know, as Christians, as people that are exercising wisdom, a wise man will listen to rebuke. We'll take that in and we'll respond to it in a proper way. Now, let's talk specifically about some of these filters. You know, for the internet, we've had to do even more recently. You know, my kids never really had a computer themselves, but recently with the virtual school that we've been doing, and I thank God for our teachers and the wonderful job they did with it. Just really did a great job with the Zoom and the Teams, Microsoft Teams, and all those different things. But our kids never had their own laptop before. And we had to buy those in order to be able to do school this year. And so I had to do even more work. And I'm glad I had to because I'd like to share some of these things with you. You know, one thing that you can get, if you're willing to pay a little bit of money, and sometimes they're even free, but you can get some virus softwares. And you think, well, what does a virus software have to do with, pornography and different things? Well, a lot of times these new virus softwares will come with some parental controls added into it. And I found they're actually pretty simple to use. Might maybe mean reading a manual a little bit, reading about it a little bit, but they're pretty easy to set up. And you can toggle things on and off. You can add what websites you allow them to see, what websites they can't see. You can say when they could be on the computer, when they shouldn't. By the way, this isn't just, you know, seeing evil things on the internet. Sometimes it's just that we can get into wasting our time. We'll talk about this a little bit, and spending too much time doing certain things. Well, these provide a lot of helps for parents to control those things. You say, oh, you're just being a controlling dad. You're just sheltering your kids. Hey, listen, you know what? God has given me the responsibility to teach and protect the kids that he's given to me. And if you look on TV, are we not living in a wicked world? Are we not living in a wicked society? Is it not worth us protecting our children? And they're gonna be faced with plenty of wickedness out there, trust me. But in my home, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, amen? And I trust that's your heart's desire. And so, you know, yes, I do want to shelter them as much as I can from the onslaught of the wickedness of this world. And a lot of this is just simply accountability, and that's a scriptural principle this morning, to keep each other accountable. And so, virus software, I tell you something else. If you're a little more tech savvy, they have firewalls. And if you don't know what that is, then you probably don't have to worry about it. But they've got firewalls that you can hook up that will protect the internet there in your home in terms of what comes through it and what doesn't. Here's some real simple things that probably if you have a device, you've got it. Number one, Apple has something called Screen Time. And so you can go on this and each have, under your family, have each member as a part of your account. And you can, again, be careful about what internet they're allowed to. You can make it so they can't get internet. You pretty much have control to anything. And if you need help with setting up any of those things, I'd be happy. I know Brother Scott is youth pastor. We'd be happy to help show some of these things to you and help you out with those things. Microsoft's great. Recently, they've got something called Family Account. And you can also, with all your computers, use the Microsoft Family Account. And again, this will help protect things when they're getting on different browsers and whatnot. You know, when it comes to specific browsers, Google has extensions you can get, and we use something called Blocksy, Blocksi. And again, it's great. Again, just another one of these things that will help filter some of the things that you don't want on your internet. You say, well, what about TV? Okay, well, TV, you've got, you know, different things nowadays. You've got your cable services, and a lot of times they'll come with parental controls, and you've got Roku, you've got Amazon Prime, you've got Netflix, and a lot of these have parental controls that I found are really helpful to use. And you can set up those controls there in the setup. And then, you know, you can get something called TV Guardian, which will filter out the bad words. As someone's talking, there's the closed caption, and it takes those words and it's able to read those, and if there's a bad word that comes, it's able to mute it out. Hey, I wouldn't let someone come to my house and start screaming profanities. Why should I let them do that on TV? And so if we've got these things, well, let's take advantage of it as Christians. And hey, I like to watch a movie, a good movie, as much as the next person with some action in it and fun. But you know what? I don't want to have all the filth come in with it. And Satan's good at mixing the good in with the bad, isn't he? And we've got to make sure that we filter out those things that are bad. You know, with movies, I have two different things that we use. One's called ClearPlay. And you can get a membership with ClearPlay. And you can stream movies. And you can choose everything you want filtered out of that, whether it's, you know, modesty, or whether it's drugs, or whether it's violence, or whether it's cursing and profanity. You can pretty much filter any. They've gotten really good at it, filtering all those different things out. Another one's called VidAngel, and we'll use that. It actually has an app right on your phone if you're watching a movie on your phone, and it will take all those different bad things out, and you as a parent can set up the controls for that. So we could talk all morning about those, but I just want to name a few. Let me just give you one other application under this point. Be ready to flee temptation. You know, things pop up, don't they? And in this world, things come across all of a sudden that we see that we didn't necessarily intend to. Or listen, the Bible gives us a principle for that, and that's to run from it, to flee it. Something pops up, man, close it. Don't dig further. Don't hesitate. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, flee fornication. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. You know, I think about Joseph, and I think about Potiphar's wife, and how when she went to tempt him, he ran from that. Well, that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to have character. We have the character of David, who in Psalm 101 in verses 2 through 3 said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And listen, you got to have character. You got to say like David, I'm not going to watch. My parents may not be here to see what I'm doing, but God sees me. My wife may not be here to see what I'm doing, but God sees me. And I want to live a life of righteousness before my God. I want to walk before him with a perfect heart. Notice number three, we've talked about being careful of having filters and making sure we don't make temptation easy in our lives. But number three, beware of evil communications. A lot of times with all the technology, it's opened up more opportunities to communicate. Now, that's a good thing. I think about our missionaries. And I get to talk with our missionaries all the time, with FaceTime and different things like that. And it's wonderful. I mean, you think about how missionaries used to operate back in the old days. They'd send a piece of mail across the ocean and hope it got there in a month or something. I mean, they would sometimes missionaries would go away from their families and just think they wouldn't have communication with them again. But we're blessed with all the communication that we have. But listen to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And so with the increase of communication through technology, we need to remember that there's the possibility for evil communications in our life. You know, 28% of young social network users admit to sharing information online that they would have never shared in public if they were face-to-face. And I think that's just true of our nature. You know, when you're not faced with someone face-to-face, maybe there's a little more boldness to say something you shouldn't say, to type something that you shouldn't type. I personally know people who've lost their jobs because of things that they posted on Facebook. And we need to help our children understand, when you put something on a public social networking site, it's there forever. You say, oh, but I deleted it. No, don't think that you deleted it. It's still there. And bosses, people that are looking to hire, they'll pull up old things from your social networking to see, you know, what kind of character you have. And if you have a string of things that you put on there, you can really hurt your testimony. Gossip with other people, cyberbullying, a huge problem with teenagers with that. Improper speech, ungracious words. Hey, foolish debates. Listen, I don't think Facebook is the great place for you to settle a debate with somebody else and to argue with somebody else, especially as Christians. I wonder what unsaved people think about that when we get into doing that. We need to walk with wisdom when it comes to the way that we communicate with this technology. Here's a couple applications to this. Remember, the power of the tongue is still the same, even in electronic form. The Bible tells us this in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And that speech includes what you are texting or what you are chatting or what you are posting. And then remember that what you put on social networking is there forever. I thought this was an interesting verse. I know I've read it before, but it just hadn't popped out to me like it did when I read it this week. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. And of course, you know, being online, there's the opportunity to communicate more, and yet God tells us in Proverbs 10 and verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth, or there's no lack of sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. I'm not saying you don't chat, I'm not saying you don't text, I'm not saying you don't post, but let's be careful about what we say, that it's pleasing and honoring to God and uplifting to others. And then number four, beware of stolen time. We alluded to this a little bit already, but you know, technology coming into our life can steal our time from being with others or doing what God wants us to do. You know, it can steal time from our families. I remember when I got an iPhone for the first time. Suddenly, I began to spend less and less time with my wife and with my kids. Until eventually I realized it and it hit me. And maybe it took my wife saying something to me. And I don't think it was like, I don't want to hang out with my family. It wasn't anything like that. It's just that you got something and you got a little more attached to it and a little more attached to it, and it pulled me away from the people that I love. Listen, what's an iPhone versus my family? What's a video game versus the people that God's placed into my life? And so I need to make sure that I'm not letting this technology rob time and rob, as parents, the teaching time that we have with our children. Deuteronomy 6 talks about how we should teach our children through the day. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And yet, I think if you went in a lot of Christian homes, you wouldn't find parents teaching their kids. You'd find their one parent on one device, another parent on another device, another kid playing a game, another kid watching TV. And we're missing out, maybe, if we're not careful, on that important instruction that as parents, we're responsible to give to those children. And even as you participate in those technologies, you know, as we'll watch a movie, I'll look at my kids, and you can't filter everything out. And that's another thing to realize. You can't filter out philosophies. And so I'll look at my kids and say, you know, that the way they talk to their parent, that obviously that's not right, yeah? And we'll talk about it. And I can use that as a teaching opportunity. Hey, listen, let me tell you something else to be careful of. Time stolen from prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And, you know, it's a convicting thought. How much time do I spend in prayer each day versus how much time do I spend doing my email and on the internet? Time stolen from Bible reading. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I think a lot of us are meditating on things on the internet and meditating on, and not necessarily bad things, but not something as great as the Word of God in our lives. And let's be careful about the balance of where we're spending our time. Time stolen from meditating. You know, meditating is a lost art spiritually. And Psalm 4 and verse 4 says, commune with your heart, your own heart upon your bed and be still. And I tell you, one thing that's been good about the coronavirus, if I can say something good, is that it's caused us maybe to be a little more still. And God says, be still and know that I'm God. And we get running and doing and get so involved in technology and the things that are going on in our life, and we're not still with the Lord. And we miss that special moment spent with the Lord. And then time stolen from evangelism. Ezekiel 33:6 says, but if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Listen, when the master returns, I want to be busy about doing his work. Let me tell you what his work is. His work is telling others about Jesus Christ, leading them to the Lord, discipling them, and helping them to have spiritual victory in their own lives. Technology can be bad, and it can be good. How are you using it in your life? I know it's been a short lesson on it this morning, but I hope you'll take the principles that we've talked about, timeless principles, and apply them to these new things that have come into our lives. Let's pray, and we look forward to seeing those that are coming A through K at church this morning. Father, thank you for the guidance of your word. Thank you that you haven't left us here having to wonder how to live our lives. But you give us these timeless truths, these principles. Help us to listen to them, obey them, and apply them in our lives as new things come into our lives, new technologies and new things are introduced. Lord, may we always filter them through the wisdom of your word. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.